This episode of The Stack was first broadcast on the 1st of August 2015 on Monocle 24.
Load up the trunk, stuff up that suitcase, time to check in and chill out. It is officially summer, particularly if you live in France or Italy. We're here to give you some waterside reading or mountainside musings in print. Magazine Retail Therapy today on The Stack. Today on the show, we go out in search of those ideal newsstand purchases, from South Korean skateboarding to American escapism, to keep your print intake sufficiently satisfying for the next few weeks. We'll be paying a visit to a new magazine retail space that gives some of our favorite magazine titles, and many more besides, plenty of room to breathe.
We wanted something a bit bigger, where we could actually have space to develop a much bigger range, and this is it.
Plus, as the Grand Depart well and truly kicks off, we'll be hitting the Parisian kiosk and asking what people might be picking up for that long ride south.
I used to buy a stupid feminine magazine because I learned a lot of theoretical books during the year, and I don't want to think during the summer.
All that coming up on the special edition of The Stack, Monocle 24's dedicated print industry review and analysis show. Hello and welcome to The Stack with me, Tyler Brulé. Now, before we introduce our guest, in a break from the norm, we're going on a shop visit with two well-positioned stores in London and one in Manchester. Magma has seen, well, is sort of seen as a treasure trove of print media since opening some 15 years ago. Its owner, Mark Valley, who is also editor of the respected arts title Elephant, recently decided to move premises and enlarge. We'll be welcoming Mark to the studio in just a bit, but first we're going to hear from our very own Fernando Augusto Pacheco, who ventured down to the new Covent Garden Magma to take a look for himself.
Hi Mark, pleasure to be here in your new shop. It's a lovely shop. It's very different from the one I knew before here in Covent Garden.
The one before was known for being incredibly small and densely packed with stuff. It was almost like one of those Japanese shops, but a bit messier. So we wanted something a bit bigger, where we could actually have space to develop a much bigger range. And this is it. Our primary goal with this was to have a combination of books and products, because we started as a bookshop that sold a lot of magazines, but we knew from the word go, which is why we called ourselves Magma, not Magma Books, that just books wouldn't really be able to keep us afloat. So we always try to have this combination of books with gifts, with prints, with different things. And so this basement is, in a way, the first time we actually can put that in place. It's the first time we can actually find a space that is big enough and nice enough so that we can have this, what we think is an organic combination of books and products. So you go from prints there to gifts, to games, to stationery, to jewelry, to kitchenwares, to t-shirts, you know, it's with a certain angle, obviously. And as you notice, there are some magazines up here to attract people and encourage them to go downstairs. But the downstairs is the second reason why we wanted this space. And that was for two reasons. First reason is to have a great magazine selection and to be able to do exhibitions. Exhibitions obviously connect with our prints, which are, it's one of our, let's say, most important businesses. But we also felt that in London, you really needed a space for magazines. I mean, there's probably more magazines in London than just about any other city in the world. And yet, there isn't a place that you can go and browse and have a good time looking at them. There's some good news agents. The Tate may have a nice selection of art magazines, for example. The Foyles has now a nice selection of magazines. But there wasn't a space that you could enjoy this magazine scene that you have in London.
Shall we go downstairs and have a look?
Yes, of course. At the moment, we are presenting the work of the designers which we're exhibiting. But normally that is also magazines. And then in this area, you get the latest magazines, a small selection of what's new. And then there you've got this, we call them tanks. They seem to look like tanks, isn't it? Where we just pile the magazines. magazines are a very hard thing to display. You know, books are rigid. You can put them standing, you can put them spine out. You cannot put magazines spine out. They don't stand properly. They are very floppy, big things. And the only way to actually really display them properly is, I think, in flat piles, which is what we did here. There's a very nice shop who we inspired ourselves from as well in Berlin. And they display their magazines mostly flat. And we thought, okay, flat is the way to go. And so you get this all these big piles of magazines.
Tell me just a few titles as well that we can see here.
So, for example, we were talking earlier about Fantastic Man and The Gentlewoman. Those have always been very good sellers. I'm personally a sucker for Purple. I think Purple is a wonderful magazine. It's really unique in its sort of, you know, how they put it together, I don't know, but it's amazing. Under the Influence is a relatively new one for me. We didn't carry it before, though I can see it's issue 15, so it's probably just that we weren't carrying it. Very popular here these days, O Comely. That's become a very popular thing. A new one for us, Le Petit Voyeur, which is a French publication. And So It Goes, which again is a great combination of art, photography, writing, and everything else, film as well. This is new. I haven't actually had the time to look at this. I think it's called No Substance, and it doesn't have a masthead, which is quite rare for a magazine, isn't it? Just has a little title on the side. And then here you move on to art and design. This is a new magazine called A Museum, and it has very good stuff inside it, actually really original writing, and I was very impressed by that, actually. I don't necessarily like the cover of it, but the content is actually very good. It's a rare thing when you don't like the cover, but the content's actually really good. Normally it's the other way around with magazines, isn't it? This is a new magazine that's very beautiful. I think it's from Turkey. It's an art magazine called The Exhibist magazine. The production values are amazing. I must say it hasn't sold very well. I think people don't quite get it. I think when magazines look too much like books, it's sometimes hard to sell. I don't know why, because it should be a good thing, but somehow people feel maybe it will be hard work to read through it. But this is very beautiful, actually.
And that was our Fernando Augusto Pacheco taking a tour of the Mag McCuffin Garden Store here in London. I'm very happy to say that we've managed to pull Mark Valley in from the basement. Now, Mark, as you would probably appreciate, we have a number of listeners, of course, who are not just publishing magazines. I'm just so fascinated. I want to turn maybe this program into a bit of a retail story, because now I know that you referenced one store in Berlin when you're talking about these tanks and where you display magazines. And in the interest of full disclosure, of course, our listeners will also know that we're working on our own magazine store, nowhere close to yours, more way, way west than that. But nevertheless, it is sort of one of those key challenges. And before we went on air, we were talking a little bit about Switzerland. And I think it's fascinating when you look at the Swiss market. You know, a major sort of player there is Kiosk, who seem to have the monopoly, certainly, of the commercial chains. And they're also very good at doing something which, you know, lots of other mass retailers don't do. They're very good at just stacking magazines and making it sort of, you know, very easy, that you feel that if you see something vertical, you also feel that there's a bit more of an urgency that you want to pick it up. There's this abundance. And was that sort of one of the drivers when you thought about this?
Yes, I think in retail, anytime you see a big pile, it means a statement, isn't it? It means either it's not selling or it's really there and it's arrived and it's supposed to sell a lot.
Yeah, they're restacking every 15 minutes because they're flying out the door.
Exactly.
I want to come back to magazine display in a moment, but I'm also just intrigued when we were listening to the package, the basement. And so many, you know, so often you talk to retailers and whether it's upstairs or downstairs, just people aren't sort of keen to go up or down. How's that gone for you?
It's okay. It's always a challenge getting people to go downstairs. And that's why the magazines are there, because we think it's like sugar. It's something people actually come for and they come back. Mm. If you're going to a bookshop to check what's out in terms of books, you don't necessarily go every week. But if you want to be up to date in terms of magazines, you have to be there every week. So in a way, it's a strategy to get our regular customers to go downstairs on a regular basis and check out what's there. Mm. Same thing with the exhibitions. We thought, okay, we'll put the two things that should drag, you know, the two pieces of candy. Mm. downstairs.
And I guess what I thought was also fascinating, you were saying that that London needs spaces where you can browse and linger. And I guess maybe there is sort of a psychological component. You've made the investment to go downstairs. So in a way, you're almost encouraged to, yeah, you know what, I'll spend a few more minutes before I have to, you know, ascend the stairs again as well. And have you noticed that your customers are also interacting with the space in that way?
That's true. They linger and they often come and in, say, groups of two or three, and they stay there discussing the magazines for a while. A lot of them may be people who are planning to do magazines, who have done their magazines or were art directors. And that's what we wanted. That's what we're hoping. We're hoping that this can turn into a base, somewhere where you can go if you are part of that scene, if you're interested in that scene, and if you want to check out what's going on with that scene.
Mm. Now, let's go back to display. I was in Bangkok recently, and I was in one of my favorite bookstores, and we've been living with periodicals of different scales for a long time, and I couldn't believe how wrong they got the magazine displays, because in fact maybe a clever architect or designer thought, well, what we do is we'd actually sort of lean the magazines outwards, and as we all know, you know, magazines, they really need to lean back, because suddenly you had all these sort of flopping mastheads everywhere. So I guess when it comes to the vertical component, when you're not stacking, what have you done with your wall space?
Well, that's why we combined it with an exhibition space. So you've got a gallery downstairs and you've got a magazine. So the magazines occupy the center of the middle part, and the walls are occupied by artwork and prints and that sort of thing.
So you didn't sort of feel that there was a desire to sort of hit people squarely in the eye, you know, for active purchase. You said, okay, this we're going to hang our exhibition.
The whole point of this new store was that we would have enough space not to stack things everywhere.
Mm.
We even have a white wall. There's nothing in it. It's got no bookshelves, and people are horrified. Even behind the till, there's nothing. Like, reps come in from publishers and go like, how come you don't have anything on that wall? And we're like, well, it'd be nice. For the first time ever, we'd be able to afford not to have anything on a wall.
Now, you brought a variety of things. We're going to go to a break in a moment, but why don't we kick off with one of your most chosen titles. What title do you want to start with?
Maybe The Quiet Leaf. That's my favorite thing of the month, actually. I think this arrived at more or less at the same time as we were starting the new shop. So I think that was in January. I think two guys turned up at the store, and I was told that two Japanese guys, since then I realized they're Korean, but I was told two Japanese guys had turned up at the store and given us a magazine called The Quiet Leaf. Now, you never guess what The Quiet Leaf is about. It's about skateboarding. And we looked at the magazine very briefly and said, okay, yeah, order it. That's great. Mm. So we get it directly from them. And this, I think, is their second issue. So the idea is that they'll travel to a country and they'll review the skateboarding scene in the very wide sense of the term in that country.
Now,
is the France issue.
Yes.
And they go from places.
And this is just their second issue they've ever done, it seems.
I think it is.
But judging by the number two on the
spot.
But
it's exceptionally well designed. It's really subtle. It's really clever. It's really well put together. The writing is very, very sharp. Very funny. And, you know, at one point they're traveling through some bridge and one of the skateboarders falls off and he starts bleeding. And then he describes how they stop by this shop to put some, you know, something to stop him bleeding. And it's like they go to a restaurant together and it's basically almost like a travel journal.
It is.
But on a skateboard.
And I should add also trilingual, leads with English and French and then also in Korean as well. But has... Yeah, I mean, from the cover stock that it has, and if you go through the pages, it's as good, if not better, than many a fine art journal that I would find on your shelves as well.
It is fantastic, and it starts with an editorial where the editor is back in Seoul, looking out his window and describing his trip and why he took that trip, and then they go to Paris, then he goes to Lyon, he even goes to Annecy. I mean, not the first thing you think of doing if you go to France.
Absolutely.
But he brings out a very good story. So, I mean, I think I've enjoyed every story in that issue. I think it's a really good magazine. I was so impressed. And I haven't gone on a skateboard since I was 14, maybe, for good reasons. Mm. That's why I'm here still.
Yeah. You went to find your wheels
and
again.
And it made me want to do that, actually.
But you haven't yet.
But I won't do it.
Okay. No, I think, well, the editor-in-chief is Jin Yob Kim. I also, just, you know, one other point before we go to the break, is I really like the fact that I think, you know, so many self-published titles are sometimes a little bit precious about advertising, etc. But, you know, I like the first thing you see is there's a spread for Vans, and it's, you know, propeller of Vans skateboarding video. And I like that they're able to do something which is very quiet and beautiful, but there's a bit of nice bit of commercial grit up front as well. Not to mention at the same time that how wonderful that they just showed up and demanded that you stop it for
them. I know, and I think they show confidence. I think if you're confident in your content, you have no problem having advertising, and it's like, what's the problem?
Exactly.
I'm bringing out great content. Why shouldn't I make money out of it?
True words never spoken. You're listening to The Stack on a Saturday here on Monocle 24. Our guest is Mark Valley. We're going away for a short break. We're heading to France, though, after this. You're listening to The Stack here on Monocle 24. We're in Studio 2 today. It's a Saturday here in London. And my guest today is Mark Valley. Now, we were talking about France before the break. And in France, the so-called Grand Départ is, of course, in full swing. We are in August, ladies and gentlemen, and the major cities are already starting to feel rather empty as the residents decamp to the beach, mountains, and elsewhere. Monocle's man in Paris, Tom Burgess Watson, went along to a major train station in the French capital to see what magazines and newspapers people are picking up for their summer holidays.
Well, it's a hive of activity here at the Gare de Lyon in Paris. In the next half hour or so, there'll be trains heading to Nice, Marseille, Montpellier, Hyères, all of them packed with people heading on their summer holidays. And they're taking with them lots of suitcases, but also lots of bags from the newspaper shops, which are at either end of the station. There's also a newspaper stand right in the middle of the station. And I'm going to go and speak to some people now, leaving on their holidays, to find out what they're taking by way of reading materials. Avec les ondes si pures, la mer, bergère d'azur, infinie.
About Geo, because it's about Scotland, and I feel as if I would like to go to Scotland maybe next year, so just to visit, and we're just curious about it. And one is about music and cinema, and I didn't know this magazine, and I wanted to know more about it, so just out of curiosity, just to read in the TGV.
What's the title of that magazine?
So Film, and the other one is Geo.
La May. Probably newspapers, Le Monde. Any magazine about design, architecture, because I am an architect, or any travel magazines, that kind of stuff. Otherwise, political issues, you have these kinds, like Le Monde Diplomatique, which is also very interesting. I know French is very, very fond of magazines. We buy a lot of magazines in France, that I know.
What magazines do you like to take on holiday with you?
Magazine general, like Express, Naval Observer, other every subject, actuality and politics, social and other.
Okay, how many magazines do you think you'll take with you on holiday?
Maybe 5 or 6.
I used to buy like a stupid feminine magazine, because I learn a lot of theoretical books during the year, and I don't want to think during the summer.
Which titles do you like to buy? Quel titre?
Voici Vanity Fair, Public, Biba.
About like the news, gossips, thing about cinema. Mostly it's gonna be for the train. I took some readings with me in my bag.
Which gossip magazine do you like?
I prefer the English ones, are good, but I bought Paris Match this time.
Well, from the Gare de Lyon in central Paris for Monocle, I'm Tom Burgess Watson.
There are men indeed at the Gare de Lyon. You're listening to The Stack here on Monocle 24. Back in a moment. Monocle has a new offspring. The just-launched Escapist is our sunny summer title with a travel vibe. Printed in the same compact format as our winter forecast, it takes you to 10 great cities that should not be missed. Let's get the Monocle team to tell you more. Our Nairobi correspondent Trista McConnell takes a trip to Djibouti, the tiny Horn of Africa nation with one of the largest concentrations of foreign military bases in the world.
We also head to Ethiopia to discover the country's booming capital, Addis Ababa. There we encounter a city undergoing dramatic change as investors and foreign money pour into the country.
The Escapist is on newsstands now. Get your copy today or become a Monocle subscriber at monocle.com and never miss out.
And you're back with The Stack here on a summer Saturday here on Monocle at 24 with me, Tyler Brulé. Also, Mark Valley with me in the studio today from Magma. And we were talking, and we were just before the break, and before Tom Burgess Watson's piece, we were in France with this wonderful Korean journal, The Quiet Leaf. But you're going to, I can see at least how your stack is aligned, and I think we're heading Marfa way, Texas way.
Yes. Well, the connection is more the... I was thinking, we were talking about The Quiet Leaf earlier, and I was thinking about this new phenomenon that's kind of overtaking the indie magazine industry, which is the what I call the single person, the first person singular magazine. Mm. Obviously, magazines have always had, they've always been modeled around the personality of the founder, of the editor, from Vogue onwards. Mm-hmm. But this now, with these independent magazines, has been taken to the next level, which is you have an editor, and the editor writes the magazine, takes the pictures, edits it, narrates it, and the whole magazine has been told from the point of view of that central figure. Mm. And I would say Purple was maybe a pioneer of that type of narrative. And I think Martha's Journal is a perfect example of that, and a really good one at that. I think it's... it's very direct. It's based around Alexandra Gordichenko, who's a photographer and an artist and a journalist. And it's basically her friends, very loud statements about things in life. The editorial at the beginning is hilarious. It's wonderful. It's the loudest editorial you ever see. I think the typeface is about that big. It's about... 4 centimeters tall.
Well, there's a health,
and it goes on for 4 pages.
Absolutely, and there's a healthy dose of again of advertising, which I always think is important to look at in a magazine. Yeah. For those who aren't familiar with it, the title Marfa Journal and the provenance of it. What is the link? Because it takes us seemingly far and wide. Though once we're inside the pages.
Yes, I think Marfa has come to epitomize a certain scene, a certain independent RT. We don't care about big business, but we want to make a lot of money, even though we still live in a caravan type of scene.
Yes. Yes, and there's a bit of a global pandemic, for that type of crowd at the moment as well. I think you raise an interesting point, though. When you talked about Purple and this very sort of singular view and of course, a very hands-on approach, and sure, there are many editorial floors all over the world, you know, where a couple of senior editors or one editor has their hand over many things. But, you know, magazines are often collaborative, and it's one thing. And we even notice this today often that when we're bringing in interns, we're talking to professors at universities, they're even almost conditioning young journalists to be thinking in this singular way. And I'm wondering, do you think it was actually led by independent publishing, and independent publishing mark then almost informed the world of Instagram and sort of this digital narcissism that we have? Or do you think that this has been driven actually... that we have more titles like this because of blogs and the singularity of a different type of media channel, chicken or egg?
Yes, I would say that for me, I see it more as it's harder and harder, say, to make a movie and to be heard. It's harder and harder to actually go on television as a single unit, you know, as an individual and be heard in that way. And independent magazines are carving that niche, I suppose, in parallel. I think it very much runs in parallel to the social media world.
Yeah.
but it is that social media world disappears. It just goes away and it doesn't stay, whereas a magazine stays, not for very long.
Sure.
But it does stay for a little while. And I think it's the equivalent of, say, the indie movie industry of the 80s or 90s, or the music scene of the 80s or 90s. I think it is a channel. I don't know if it's good for magazines to be like that. I'm not 100% convinced about it. I mean, the reason why I started a magazine is because I wanted to escape myself. And I like the group ethic of a magazine, of just going to reach out and just hearing, letting people develop their thing.
That's interesting, because when you talk about the group, you talk about the audience or you talk about your collaborators?
I'm talking about the editorial team and even the commercial team.
Sure.
And the readership that comes and interacts with you.
Because that's what I find is fascinating when you meet professors today and then you talk to students and then they say, well, how do I apply to come work at Monocle or another magazine? Because I've been told all year at school that, you know, it's about the power of my brand. It's the power of me. Mm. And I, you know, I have to say, well, you know, we have 60, 70 editorial people in this building. It's about working on a team. It's like, you know, your idea might rise to the top. You might be researching something, but you have to know how to get along with others. But also you want to be invested in something bigger. And so it's kind of interesting how there is this disc. I'm not sure with Elephant if you have sort of a similar experience as well.
I do. And every time I go to an MA course in publishing, they're all, I suppose, is what they have to do to graduate. They have to do their own magazine. I mean, why would you do your own magazine? I mean, start a magazine, not your magazine. And I'm personally more in favor of like finding stories.
Sure.
You know, go and find a story. Do just one good feature.
And do it well.
And that's it.
Yeah. You know? We've got very little time left, so probably this is in the spirit of also people on the Grand Départ on their way for holidays. You've got two more titles. What are you going to recommend? But we'll probably have to give 15 seconds to each.
This is a very odd thing called No Substance. And as I mentioned before, it has no masthead.
No.
And it comes from the idea of all style and no substance. And they stay true to their word.
All the way through.
And it has almost no words in it.
Yeah, it's got a £10 cover price. Very few words. We've got some sumo wrestling going on. We've got some people getting dressed through some sheer curtains.
And it clearly is done in the spirit of improvisation. So you go from ripped trousers where you can see the bottom of the model to the bottom of the samurai wrestlers.
Yeah, and with a few tube socks in between and a football that looks like a boob. And one more.
And this is something that just landed on my desk. It's called The Collective Quarterly. Mm. And we were talking about advertising, and they do their own advertising. So they work with brands, but they do their own versions of those ads.
Right.
And then they do the stories through their brands. It's quite an odd concept. And I just thought it was interesting to see how they dealt with that issue. They seem to think they've reinvented the concept of dealing with advertisers, whereas in fact is what people have been doing in magazines forever. But they do it in a new way. It's interesting.
Yeah,
and it's great magazine.
And interesting, it's published out of West Virginia,
exactly,
which is incredible. Printed, of course, in Canada. We're actually going to be hearing more from those guys on the program next week. Mark, have a really fantastic summer. Very good to see
you. Thank you.
And anyone passing through London, of course, over the course of the summer, we invite them down to the basement of Magma in Covent Garden. That brings us to the end of The Stack with me, Tyler Brulé. And of course, many thanks to Mark and also Fernando's wonderful package. And of course, Tom Burgess Watson in Paris today. Our producer, as ever, has been David Pleasant. And our studio manager is Claire Urban. If you have any comments or queries, then drop us a note to @info@monocle.com. Remember, back next Saturday at the very same time. I'll be in Tokyo. I do believe our Tom Edwards will be manning the seat. Until then, goodbye.